You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
There are many different paths you can take, but there's only one. Road to Atlanta.
The high drive deep out to left field. He clubbed it. Brady twisting and turning, looking up and giving up. It's a home run for Dansby Swanson. Flair out towards shallow right. That's big trouble. Albies going back. He dives and he makes the catch. What a play, Ozzie Albies. Swanson is headed for three. He'll try for it inside the Parker. Relay throw comes toward the plate. He'll score standing, and it's his second inside the park home run of the season.
This is your weekly podcast dedicated to the Atlanta Braves farm system. Follow the show on Twitter at @Road2Atlanta. Now, hit the road with your hosts, Eric Cole, Gaurav Vidak, and Garrett Spain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Road to Atlanta, a podcast devoted solely to the Braves farm system and Braves prospects. I'm Eric Cole. You may recognize me from my work over on Talking Chopper. I've been the deputy site manager for the past three seasons and then the minor league editor for the past, I guess it's six seasons now. We actually get to talk about real life minor league baseball that is happening for the first time since the 2019 season ended. I can tell you that the entire staff of Talking Chop is very excited about that. We actually are all going to be here tonight. Unfortunately, Matt was having some technical difficulties where he couldn't get his audio inputs to work, so we're going to get him sorted out. We were going to have the whole crew here tonight, but joining me, I still have a very full slate of folks for you here. We have Wayne Cavati. Say hi, Wayne.
Hey, I'm on the IL, retroactive to yesterday with my finger, but I'm glad to be talking minor league baseball.
Absolutely. Gaurav, make sure you plug your Twitter handle and all that stuff. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Doing fantastic. Almost a little bit tired. Constantly watching, you know, three different MILB games and the Braves games at the same time. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like kind of going through a sportsgasm right now.
Nice.
Absolutely. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, we have one Garrett Spain. Garrett, how are you, my friend?
Man, I am doing great. I'm so excited about the season. We've had some great games so far, some really, really intriguing prospects, and I am really excited to have almost the entire crew here to talk about it with.
Yeah, our group chat has been very busy over on Twitter, and since these guys refused to promote themselves for reasons that I'm not sure if I fully understand, you can follow Wayne at U of D Wayne, you can follow Gaurav at GVDAC, and you can follow Garrett Spain at Braves MILB on Twitter. You can follow myself at Leprechaun with a K. You'll get plenty of Major League and Minor League stuff from my end. You'll get plenty of D2 content in addition to Minor League Baseball from Wayne. Gaurav, lots of cooking advice as well as minor league baseball, major league baseball. Really anything that's Atlanta sports related will come out of Gaurav. And Garrett, a whole lot of minor league baseball, and the occasional tweet that makes you scratch your head and you're wondering what in God's name he's talking about. But we are really thrilled to kind of all be here and be talking about the thing that we've been wanting back in our lives more than anything, and that is minor league baseball. We are just now at the end of basically the first week of the minor league baseball season. We had a full slate of games, six games each for each level. Before we go any further, I did want to kind of make sure everyone understands kind of how the podcast is going to be going forward. Because of scheduling, there's no minor league games on Monday nights anymore, at least for this season, and that's just going to be system-wide. So we're trying to figure out ways to kind of schedule how this podcast posts vis-a-vis both the Talking Chop podcast, the flagship program, as well as kind of making sure we can fill some holes scheduling-wise that tend to happen whenever we don't have a minor league recap going up every day. As a result, what's going to be happening on late Monday nights and then into Tuesday is that I'm going to be posting the podcast to the Talking Chop podcast stream. It's going to be like late Monday nights. I'll just schedule it like 1 or 2 in the morning. So if you're really wanting to get your fix, you can stay up late to kind of watch it, listen to it then. Or at least be ready for your Tuesday morning commute. After that, our own Wayne Cavati is going to be doing a weekly kind of week look ahead type preview as to what's going on in the minor leagues. It's going to be posted every Tuesday morning. And then finally, we're going to have the post that's going to be embedded with the podcast itself. If you don't want to subscribe to the podcast for whatever reason, and or you just prefer to listen to it via the site, that's where it's going to be embedded, and that's going to go up around 10 o'clock when the recap usually goes up. So, again, those are kind of some logistics of how the show is going to be working going forward. We're trying to figure out exactly kind of, you know, how to make all this work each week and kind of what the best scheduling decision is. And that's where we landed on for now. If there are any changes, I'll make sure to let you guys know. But with all that said, we have a lot of ground to cover. Normally with the way the show is going to work is that there will be going through all four levels, kind of making highlights about particular guys if we see, but if there are newsworthy items, that's what we'll talk about first. The biggest newsworthy thing for the, you know, going into, you know, this episode was that William Contreras is up in Atlanta now, and, you know, he's not in AAA, obviously, but, you know, considering there wasn't any actually minor league, like, play that he was engaging in that we could talk about, we're not really going to cover that too much, especially since that was covered on the Talking Chop side. But if there are promotions between levels, if there, we see a lot of roster shakeups, if guys get called up to the big leagues from AA and AAA, we will be talking about that kind of at the top of episodes. Those are kind of big line items that we're going to be talking about. And after that, we'll kind of go through each level each week, where we kind of talk about like the guys that we really like and, you know, who's been performing well and, you know, maybe who hasn't, that who are of note. And then we'll go through each level, you know, in somewhere in between there, we'll have a break to talk about, you know, doing the ad stuff and campaigning the bills. But beyond that, you know, that's kind of how we're going to go about the format each week. And with that said, we get to go to the new low A affiliate, one that I visited this week, in a drive that I'm not sure I'm particularly excited to be able to make over and over again, but one that I was happy to make this time for sure to support the new low-A affiliate, the Augusta Green Jackets. And again, we're going to kind of talk about some guys who stood out to us, good and bad, this week. And there's a guy on this roster who stood out in a very positive light, in a very big way, and we had an article go up from one Garrett Spain today on this particular player. So, Garrett, I already know that you're the guy who you want to talk about from low-A, so talk to me about Rodery Munoz. Munoz.
I mean, there wasn't a ton of information on him. We got, you know, kind of coming into the season, we got a snippet from Fangraphs saying, oh, you know, he's up to 97 with his fastball. That was it. That's all we got. And in the first inning yesterday, or was it yesterday? 2 days ago. Yeah, it was yesterday. First inning yesterday, he was throwing 98-99 with insane tail and rise on his fastball. So quite a big difference from that report. I mean, we talked about a little bit that very few players can, like, one game you can watch him and go, like, yeah, that guy just made a huge jump on my list. And this is, I mean, that was one of the single most eye-opening single starts. I mean, he went 4 innings, struck out 7 guys, and for the first two and a half innings, he was 98-99 on every single fastball. The slider, I mean, it looked good when he threw it, located it well. He missed some arm side. You know, it's a developing pitch for him, so it's nice to see some that were higher-end sliders that looked good, and it's nice to see that he's throwing a changeup in games and having some effect with it. It's not the best pitch, but it's usable right now. So, I mean, a guy who can throw 99, who was locating his fastball and has a couple off-speed pitches that he can use, I mean, I'm going to be watching him probably every single start for the first 2 months, and I am ecstatic to see what he can do. I don't know how a low-A hitter can hit his fastball. It's that good. It's the best fastball in the system by probably a fairly good margin right now.
Yeah, we talked about the quality of that fastball, and he's a guy that, I mean, he's like a name that I have a circle with a star next to in terms of what are we going to kind of, how is he going to do, I guess, develop as he, like, builds up his innings, and, you know, is he a guy that's, like, you know, really good for the first 2 or 3 innings and then tails off, and maybe that means he's more of a reliever profile. I mean, that's kind of the things that we have to kind of think about, right? Because the quality of the fastball is legitimately amazing. It's an electric arm. But we just don't know. I mean, he's a 21-year-old IFA signing that was of very low, like, visibility. He wasn't signed for much money. He was signed after the IFA sanctions were put into effect. So it's not like a guy who, you know, has, like, a big extensive scouting report on him that exists out there. So, again, a guy that we're going to be watching really, really closely and kind of see how he profiles going forward. But, I mean, that the Braves are, like, already starting him off as a starter, and then he mowed through low-A guys the way he did, He might not be in Augusta for very long. Gaurav, you're up next. Talk to me about a guy or two that you've been kind of looking at Augusta and kind of who's caught your eye.
Yeah, sure. You know, this guy, he did not actually make the start on opening day, and I was a little surprised just because of his somewhat advanced age at 24. But that's that'd be outfielder Willie Carter from little NAIA school, Weber International. Coming out of the draft is like a 34th round pick, and you don't really think too much of it, but you watch him, and he's got, you know, potential easy double plus power. He's got a solid feel for hitting. You follow his Twitter account, and you can just see these tanks he hits. And he showed up this first week of the season. You know, he's 7-for-13. He's got a 1.57 OPS, and the biggest
sustainable
thing is he's shown. Yeah, the biggest thing is he's shown a propensity to hit to all fields. You know, he had a really awesome opposite field. He hit a double to the opposite field. He cranked out a massive pull side homer that was followed with a majestic bat flip. He did the Acuna Euro step at third base. He took a selfie during the game too. So not only can this man hit for miles, he's incredibly entertaining. Will he become something? You know, obviously it's stacked against him since he's coming from such a small school. But he's got you look at him, you look at his swing, and he's got a great feel for hitting. You know, I don't know exactly how he's going to profile long term right now. This is really the first time I've been able to kind of watch him. But he's someone, you know, I wrote down on my list now, and someone I'm going to be kind of paying attention to, because that bat, when he makes contact with that ball, that thing is being hit over 100 miles, over like 105 miles an hour, and going hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet. He's an incredibly entertaining player. He's got tons of swag on the field as well. And from all accounts, from everyone I've talked to, is a sensational person as well. So someone to kind of stash away right now and see and kind of reassess throughout the season, I would say keep an eye on Willie Carter.
All right, Wayne, you're up to talk about some Green Jackets. Who's been kind of catching your eye this season so far anyway?
I have three quick names I want to mention, and I'll be really quick on all three. The first, and this may come as a surprise to you all, but D2 alum from Columbus State, Bryson Horn.
I knew it.
You know, I have a lot of hope in him, a lot of faith in him. He's definitely off to a slow start, but look, we're talking about someone that, you know, they signed after the draft. There's going to be a lot of rust here. This is the first organized ball they're playing in some time. I mean, but he had an RBI single in his first professional game. So, there's definitely rust there. He's got a nice, smooth left swing. He's growing into his body. He's got the frame to hit. The question is if he's going to profile as a first baseman, and is that power from college going to translate into professional ball? Another guy when I was doing my recap the night that I watched was Darius Vines. He was interesting. I guess I didn't expect too much, but his fastball, he pitched four innings that night. His fastball was looking pretty good, sitting lower 90s. I think he topped out at maybe 93 when I was listening. It's so hard for me on MILB TV to tell if some of these guys have two breaking balls or if their curve just sometimes looks like a slider. But the curve, when it was curving, it looked like it could be a legitimate pitch. And then there was some slider action in one of his pitches, and the change wasn't bad. And overall, you know, he went four innings, like I said. He didn't allow a run, and he struck out four hitters and walked two. And then the last guy I just want to mention, our old friend Ricardo Rodriguez. You know, we've seen him forever now. He's been in the system since he's, what, 17? And he's always been this defensive first catcher, and he's off to a super hot start right now. And, you know, I think he has five hits and four of them are extra bases, and he's really tagging the ball. He had a really nice home run, last week as well. Surprisingly, I think I watched two games when he was playing and several base runners stole on him, which is unlike him. That's the opposite of what we expect from him. But I definitely wanted to throw his name into the mix.
Yeah, when I was at the game, that was Thursday, I think. I went Wednesday, and Ricardo was like, the ball was exploding off his bat. Now I want to I'm glad that you mentioned him. I want to say about kind of like your kind of D2 guys, at slash undrafted free agent guys. The one thing that seems that like was a common thread amongst all those, at least watching batting practice, is that all those guys have a ton of like pull side power. They were putting on some displays in batting practice in general. So it was nice to see that there is some pop on this team. You know, early season type stuff, you're going to see that, you know, a lot of these young guys and just batters in general are going to struggle just because pitchers typically have that kind of that early season advantage. A couple names I do want to add on before we go. The opening day starter for the Green Jackets was Alec Barger. And the first inning, I was like, this ain't it. Because he couldn't find the strike zone to save his life. It looked like he was just kind of, just didn't have any command at all. And, you know, like the fastball was, you know, was a particularly bad culprit of this. But he really settled down. Fastball was like kind of 93 to 95 is what I was seeing on the kind of on the stadium gun. And he kind of really settled into his own and kind of went a lot further into that game than I thought he was. That's, again, it's not like an arm that I'm like super crazy excited about because the breaking ball was, I would say, maybe average to above average. Change up kind of the same way. But, you know, for a guy that you, you know, don't really know much about going into the season, and, you know, like that, those are real velo numbers, and he, you know, looked pretty good, at least in his first start of the season. Fun little fact is that the Green Jackets announcer and whoever was running their their scoreboard, were misspelling / mispronouncing his name in two different ways. He was listed as Alec Barber on the scoreboard, and I'm not sure what they were trying to give him when they were announcing him before the game, but, I saw his head go down, and he seemed like he was pretty annoyed that, they couldn't get his name right. But a couple names that we have highlighted in the past that have appeared on our prospect list, etc. Stephen Pallese had a tough start to the season. Looks really good defensively out there in center field. He moves around really well and seems to be like really working on kind of going putting the ball the other way and like, kind of working on his hitting. But has had a kind of a bit of a rough start. But again, has lots of tools. Like what I'm seeing kind of, you know, from a physical perspective, but he's still kind of figuring out how to do things in pro ball. And Vaughn Grissom actually put on some displays in batting practice. Seems like he's having a lot of fun on the field. He's kind of like dancing, picking on other guys. Parked a ball in batting practice that went over the net that's supposed to be protecting the apartment complex that's over there in left field, and did not do so successfully, and he hit something metal very loud, which got my attention when I was watching BP. And not walking much right now, hasn't put up a lot of extra base numbers, but, you know, he's hitting 283 and kind of, you know, making his way through, trying to, I'm sorry, 263. And he, you know, again, for a young guy who's like getting his first stretch of full season ball with those kinds of physical skills, he's been playing third base of note as opposed to shortstop, mainly because Cam Shepard's been playing shortstop for the Green Jackets, who hasn't been particularly good, at least at the plate. But they have moved him over to the third. I think he has the pop for that, so that's going to be another guy to kind of keep an eye on going forward down there in low A. Now, Augusta currently sits at 3-3, second place in the low A East. So it's going to take me forever to get used to these new league names and all that stuff. But overall, like a very interesting Augusta roster. A lot of guys that we haven't gotten extended looks at. A lot of interesting guys on both sides of the ball, too. So you're going to be hearing a lot of new names over the next few weeks, I'm going to imagine, as guys kind of break out or, you know, or really, really don't. But, you know, this Augusta roster, keep an eye on it, because there's more talent on this team than you think when you look at the roster. Which take us now to the probably one of the more talented rosters in the Braves minor league system, and that's High A Rome. Wayne, I'm going to go to you first on Rome, because this is one that's kind of our stomping grounds on our side of the perimeter. But also, this is a really fun Rome roster. Who's been kind of catching your eye over here?
Yeah, I got a couple names again. The one guy I really am interested in here, and I don't want to say that he's caught my eye because he's off to a hot start or anything, because he really is a little rusty, but it's Jesse Franklin. I loved him in college. I love that Michigan team. I really want to see him do well, but we know that he's had this huge layoff. And so you wanted to see how he came out, if it was going to be rust or if he was back to, you know, if it was a setback to him and if he was slow or anything. And while he isn't lighting the world on fire right now, I think we saw positives that it was just rust, right? It just was a long layoff from playing. He came right out of the gate. You could tell he was excited to be back on the baseball field. I remember that opening night, listening to the broadcast, they said he hit one 104 exit velocity off the ball. So again, we're looking at someone, you know, that isn't having a setback. He's just a little rusty because he's hitting the ball well. He went two for three or 2 for 4 in that opening night. I don't remember. But as the week progressed, he stopped hitting the ball as frequently. But I think he's someone definitely to keep an eye on. And, you know, with outfielders in the Braves system, you always have to question how fast or where he fits in. But I think he's definitely an intriguing guy. And then, obviously, Ricky DeVito looked very good. Fastball was amazing. The command is a little, you know, that's always going to be his issue, is the command. The splitter looked amazing. He looked great. He struck out 6. He walked 1. Like I said, the command is always going to be kind of an issue, and he throws a lot of pitches. And maybe Garrett could clarify or correct me, but I'm pretty sure he said he tweeted out on that night that it was 14 swings and misses on 37 strikes or something like that. It was some, or 37% of his strikes. It was something crazy, but he's definitely exciting to watch. And Cody Milligan is hitting the ball really well. That in 438 right now. Interesting left-handed hitter. He doesn't have any extra base hits, but he looks like he uses the gaps, and he looks like he could be a solid defender at second base. I don't know how great he is, but definitely caught my eye. And D2 baseball alum Logan Brown did hit a grand slam, and I'm just throwing that in there.
I knew it was coming. All right, Garav, talk to me.
I was going to say, you are correct. DeVito, 14 swings and misses, 37.8% whiff rate, which is very, very good.
Yeah.
That is excellent, especially for your first start of the season. Interested to see if the command kind of comes around for him a little bit. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be like a command first guy, but he's definitely going to be a guy that could use a little bit more refinement. But again, for that first start of the season, it's hard to be too upset about that. Garav, who are your guys for Rome?
First, I want to touch on DeVito's start once again. Like, I think Garen and I talked about him for like 20 straight minutes. That splitter is incredible. It is MLB worthy. Let's see if right now he probably profiles more as a reliever, but if he's working on that third pitch, you know, that's someone that's going to be leapfrogging and going sky high on the prospect list by midseason. The other person I really wanted to talk about of course I have to bring up Michael Harris. He's off to an okay start right now. Having an issue, he's hitting the ball straight into the ground quite a bit, but he's still utilizing all the field and still perfect 2 for 2 from stolen base department. Picked up a couple of walks, but struck out a few times. Not worried about him whatsoever. Just, you know, what would we be as a podcast without bringing up Michael Harris? The third person and the one that I really want to highlight would have to be Bryce Ball. Not off to the most incredible of starts, you know, he's 2 for 17,
not great.
Yeah, but like, again, with Bryce, the biggest thing is his incredible knowledge and his eye at the plate. And right now he's got an insane, he's walking at an absolutely elite rate right now. He's got 6 walks to 8 strikeouts, and you know, right now that registers out to about a 26% walk percentage. So he knows the zone. He knows the zone very well, and I assume he'll get the swing issues, you know, kind of figured out as the season progresses, because all he's done so far is mash the ball. Of course, you know, with this small of a sample, he also has a 125 BABIP, so that could be heavily influencing that production at the plate. But again, he's showing that elite knowledge of the strike zone itself with just an enormous walk rate. But the biggest thing that, you know, I want to harp on right now is I don't know his position on the field, because I watched him, and boy, he was dreadful at first base. You know, in the first inning, the first inning in the Ricky DeVito start, like, DeVito had to make a play on the ball, on a ground ball, and then run to first to cover first. Ball was just kind of standing there, not sure exactly what was happening there. He has not shown great range, and with that, he's had a couple mishandles with the ball itself. I would say right now, like, he needs a universal DH, because I just don't know where you hide him, because that was not an attractive stint at first that I saw from him. And hopefully he gets better and, you know, can at least be average. But right now, like, his path to the majors is solely on his bat, and that's not necessarily a great thing.
Yeah, I agree. He was a guy I was actually going to highlight. He's had kind of a rough start. Defensively has definitely not looked awesome. You like to see the walk rate, and I think that other opposing pitchers are pretty wary of putting anything where he can really drive the ball, because a guy that big and that strong is going to park it about 500 feet away. But I'm not too worried about him offensively, but you are right to kind of point out the fact that, you know, defensively, you know, maybe he's just going to have to be a DH going forward. That's not the end of the world, because, you know, if he mashes the ball like we think he can, that's a fine place for him. But it's certainly kind of a bummer that he's in high A and you're already kind of realizing that maybe he doesn't need to be taking the field at all. Garrett, before we go to a break, can you talk to us a little bit about some of the guys that you like down in high A?
Well, quick shout out, of course, to DeVito. Love this. I love a good splitter, so he's one of my favorite prospects. I'm gonna go through a few guys that one you probably talk a pretty good bit about, but the other two that you don't hear a ton about. First, you know, we've gotten two outings from Trey Riley, and he looks like a completely different pitcher. I mean, he hasn't walked anybody in five innings this year which is. I mean, that's really the thing with him. If he can keep the ball in the strike zone, he is, you know, a major league quality arm, and he had two games in his entire career before without walking a guy, and he's now done it twice in a row. And he's still striking out guys. You know, he had one bad pitch, I think first or second batter he faced in his first game, where he gave up a home run, and other than that, I mean, he's been lights out. And he's got the stuff to succeed. I mean, I've liked what I've seen about him, and if he can keep this up, I mean, he's a guy who can get through the system fast. It's just, you know, how, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to have a low walk rate, but how can he limit it enough to, you know, he can't be walking a batter an inning. If he can keep it, you know, around four and a half per nine, then you look at a guy that can succeed at the major league level. Going to another reliever here, Indigo Diaz, in his two games, 10 strikeouts and 4 1/3 innings. The fastball looks really,
pretty good.
Really good. I mean,
pretty good.
Some pretty crazy numbers there. You know, I mean, he's a legitimate prospect. You know, we'll have to see more. We really have not seen a ton of him yet, so we really don't know. But he struck out guys at, you know, rookie ball and at high A now. So looks like a guy who can pitch. Another one that I was extremely hard on before the season, but I think he's done reasonably well this season. That's Bo Phillip. He's looked really good defensively, I think. I think he's played that position well, and he looks like a guy that defensively can profile as a good utility infielder. And offensively, I mean, he was pretty much hopeless his first season. And this year, I mean, he hasn't been great. He struck out a pretty good bit. He only has a 679 OPS, but he's putting the ball – when he puts the ball in play, he's hitting it reasonably well. His swing looks like can produce some gap power. I mean – he's not a guy that I look at as a starter, but he's a guy that the improvements that I've seen from him, I see him as a guy that can make it to the major leagues as a bench bat. And I want to shout out to, you know, the amount of work that he has put in to improve.
Absolutely. Definitely worth kind of pointing out, especially a guy who has like some real defensive acumen and who was picked reasonably highly. He was a day one pick. You know, we want to kind of see get the Braves get some value from a guy like that. You guys named most of the guys that I wanted to talk about. A couple names I do want to mention, though. One is arguably, I think Rome's best hitter has been Sean Michel to start the season. He's been really, like, super consistent, had a really good game the other night. I'm not sure if he's a prospect per se. I wonder if he's kind of a guy that maybe tops out in double A or something like that. But has just consistently hit the ball and it's kind of really kind of been the driving force of that Rome offense, which, considering the talent on the roster, is not what I would expect it to happen. But a lot of these runs that, you know, like guys like Michael Harris, who, you know, Michael Harris is, you know, has just been poking a lot of balls the other way for getting his hits. If he gets, you know, if he has a game where he gets like a couple extra base hits and has like a good couple of games, like his OPS is going to jump through because he's already hitting reasonably well. But Michelle's been the guy who's been kind of like hitting these doubles to like driving guys who've been drawing walks and getting on base. And he's, again, like, not crazy numbers or anything like that, but he's been hitting the ball well, and he's definitely worth a shout-out. I want to talk a little bit about Jared Schuster because he's the guy we're probably going to get to ask the most about, you know, in terms of, like, you know, draft class guys, you know, first-round pick. You want to know kind of how he is. Now, I will say this, is that we heard, or at least I did, that he was dealing with some sort of injury through the alternate site and through the early part of spring, and it's been taking a little while to rehab that. I suspect that the reason why Hige was pulled out of the start this week, which I was happy to see him make, which means that it doesn't seem like the injury is like anything that's like super serious or anything like that, is that, you know, he did get pulled at 56 pitches, and which means like, you know, he was pretty clearly on some sort of limit to kind of maybe get him ramped back up as he was kind of like, you know, dealing with that, you know, rehab process and kind of building back up to being a full starter. I liked overall what I saw from Schuster. The changeup is arguably one of the best pitches in the system. There's new competition for that with what Munoz was doing, but there's, you know, in terms of overall pitches, the changeup is his best pitch by a very significant margin. I also like the breaking ball. It was, you know, it was working well off of that changeup as well as off his fastball. You know, once he kind of started leaning on it a little more, it started really paying more dividends later in that start. The fastball is an interesting thing because my first impression was that it didn't look like he was throwing it that hard. But, you know, asking around and kind of making sure that we got a good idea as to kind of what he was throwing. Sitting 92, 94, topped out a little bit higher than that. That's exactly what you want to see from that, which made me start to think about kind of why I would think that it just felt like it was slow. And I think this is that with his long arm action, particularly against righties, is that, you know, he can get the velocity, but there's not a ton of late movement on it, and it looks like to me that righties get a long look at that pitch when it's coming at them. And if he doesn't, like, you know, maybe get that spin rate up a little bit, get some late movement on it, that he's going to have trouble using that pitch against righties effectively as he moves forward. I think the changeup is perfectly fine to deal with righties, and if he can kind of, again, really pick his spots with that fastball and with a breaking ball, he can finish off righties with that changeup no problem. But that's something that I'm kind of looking at. I mean, he did give up a home run in the start, but it was like on a middle fastball that was very clearly not where he wanted to put it, and that ball got launched. But something to look forward to, look at kind of going forward anyway, is kind of what Schuster's fastball looks like going forward, not just from a velo perspective, but also if he can kind of get a little bit of extra movement on it and maybe spot it a little better, because the way it's delivered and the way it kind of moves as is it seems like the plane that it takes to get to the batter, despite the velo, they have enough time to kind of understand that's what's coming, and it seems like it's a predictable pitch in that regard. I don't know if that's what it's going to be going forward. Again, it's the guy's first start. The things might change pretty radically in that regard, but that's one thing that I'm watching with Schuster going forward. But other than that, I mean, it was a perfectly reasonable start. I think he can throw strikes. I really like that changeup. So, you know, overall, pleased at least that, especially since Schuster was actually taking the mound. But overall, just kind of, I say, a pretty good start, and we'll see how he looks going forward. The Rome Braves are currently 4-2, second place in whatever that is in high A. It's like low A, like high A East, I think, is what division the Rome Braves are in. One of those anyway. And we'll kind of see how they're doing going forward. Now, before we go on to AA and AAA, we're going to take a short break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, Americans.
there just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, guys, and we are back to talk about the upper levels of the Braves minor league system now, and really interesting group of teams here. Because if you were to tell me that one of these teams is going to be 2-4, and one of these teams is going to be 5-1, I would have lost probably 99 times out of 100 in terms of which team was which. But you know, we're going to Double A now. Mississippi League currently sits at 2-4. I've been struggling a little bit on, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But, Gaurav, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Talk to me a little bit about the guys in Double A who have kind of been like getting your attention and ones that, I mean, I know one guy in particular you've been in love with basically since he's been at Rome. But talk to me a little bit about the guys at Mississippi who you've liked this first week.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. The main person I want to talk about is someone who stole a lot of people's hearts in spring training, because out comes this little reliever under 6 feet and he pumps absolute gas, and that's none other than Victor Vodnik. Last week he made his first start since 2019. He skipped entirely high A and went straight from low A Rome to Double A, which is absolutely ridiculous. And what he showed was just flashes of insanity. He had a high 90s fastball, regularly sitting at 98. He showed a great curveball. He obviously ran out of gas because, again, he hadn't had a single start since 2019. But he showed us everything that profiles or showcases as MLB ready. And I understand the Braves notion and the Braves reasoning behind keeping him as a starting pitcher, because you want to do that as long as you can. But I kind of see him more of like a AJ Minter. The possibility, you know, AJ did that start against LA and put in what, 5 innings almost, which is unlike anything I expected him to do. But I kind of see that more in Vodnik, the slightly undersized reliever coming in with two really insane pitches. And I 100% could see him making his Atlanta debut this year if they decide to go with that role for him. That remains to be seen. I see him high leverage impact reliever in 2021, which is kind of insane to think about. But we'll catch a few more starts and see if that third pitch develops more and if the Braves kind of want to keep him as a starting pitcher. But he's really the one guy on Mississippi that has completely, you know, I've focused all my attention on. The other ones, you know, Matt Withrow, I'm sure one of the other two guys are going to talk a lot more about him, but he's just a fantastic story. You really, yep, really want to root for him based on everything that he's gone through. And it seems like he's going to attempt that change to becoming a reliever. And I would love nothing more to see him, you know, quickly ascend and, you know, find himself in Atlanta, because he's got the pedigree. He's got the arsenal. He's got the absolute bulldog mentality that everyone talks about Bryce Wilson having. The man wants to play. I want to see him play. I want to see him succeed. So hopefully Withrow can stay, you know, healthy a full season and kind of rebuild that stock and find himself in Atlanta, you know, potentially next year.
Yeah. Matt's kind of an old favorite of mine. It was really nice seeing him on the Mississippi media call. Just I have missed hearing him talk about baseball and how much he loves it. The injuries he's dealt with his shoulder in particular, and he's looked great so far. I'll talk a little bit more about him kind of once we get going. But Wayne, who are your guys at Double A that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, it's like you said, it definitely was a rough start. I mean, when Drew Lugbauer is your hottest hitter, it just says, it kind of tells you that the lineup just isn't hitting.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was, some player like Trey Harris, you know, you watch a couple of his at-bats and he was able to go the other way on a couple of hits. You know, Genesta, he's already got a home run and he had a couple good at-bats. I haven't watched every one of his at-bats, but those are kind of guys you want to, you don't care if they're making contact in the first week of the season after a year layoff. You want to see if they're getting good at-bats, and at least there's some good there. There hasn't been a lot of big hitting, but I guess what I liked when I was watching, I would say the bullpen. You know, you had Higginbotham, Bacon, Mora, White, Wilson. None of all these guys are pitching multiple innings last week, and it's a small sample size. Don't get me wrong, and they weren't letting on base runners or allowing runs. I know, I'm pretty sure I remember this correctly. Eric, you're a big fan of Higginbotham, Jake Higginbotham as well.
I am.
And I am too. I mean, it's a great story, right? That's what you want to see. Here's this guy out of Clemson. He's had multiple big time injuries. He also has times where he looks like he could be fast tracked to Atlanta, and then other times where it looks like, you know, he struggles to find the strike zone. And to see him come out, he pitched, you know, he hasn't allowed a base runner. In his little brief appearance, he's in his three pitch mix was working. And he's just a guy, kind of like you mentioned with Withrow, just a guy that I'm kind of rooting for. And I don't know what to expect, but I do think that if he could find that consistency, that he is a guy that has a chance to make it up the ladder and become a part of the Braves bullpen.
Absolutely. All right, Garrett, talk to me about some of your AA guys.
You know, going through the offense, there's not a lot of talked about good, but you know, Wayne mentioned Harris, and Harris has put some good swings on the balls. You know, there's been some balls right at guys. I think Harris has looked decent. Langeliers hit two home runs in the game. Other than that, he looked terrible. But one of those home runs, I mean, he hit a line drive into the power alley in Trustmark Park and got it out, and that is not an easy task for anybody
to do.
That
ball was destroyed.
I mean, he crushed that ball, and that's pretty impressive. I thought that, you know, I mean, we know that Langeliers has some power, but I thought that ultimately, you know, he'd hit well for contact. You know, he played good defense. I didn't know how well the power would play at the, you know, major league level. But I mean, if he's hitting balls out to the power alley in Trustmark Park, he can hit it out of any stadium. I mean, he crushed that one. Shoemake has kind of been in. And again, early in the season, but he hasn't hit anything hard. I mean, one of his hits, at least one of his hits was an infield single. The other one might have been an infield single too. I mean, he's looked pretty rough at the plate. He's putting the ball in play a decent amount, but he's not getting a lot of solid contact. And I think that, you know, that's the issue with him. He can hit and he can draw walks, but how much authority is he going to hit with? And so far this season, he's put on some weight, but in games he hasn't. He still hasn't shown that yet in his professional career. Small samples, but you got to start seeing him hit for power eventually. On the pitching side, Nolan Kingham was really, really good for four innings. I mean, he was great. He struck out six guys.
And then
he completely collapsed in the fifth inning. Gave up like four straight hits before getting replaced and gave up four runs. But I mean, up until that inning, he looked really good. And I mean, he's a guy that's if he stays with the Braves, ultimately he's probably not going to be going five, six, seven innings because he's probably a middle relief guy for the Braves anyways. So if you look at him in that role, he did his job and he struck out. You know, his biggest issue is he doesn't, you know, before he really didn't strike out a lot of guys. He struck out six batters in four innings. He walked a few guys, but ultimately up until that last inning, he looked really, really good. You know, I loved what I saw from Withrow. I want to see him do great. And I want to go back to Vodnik. I mean, you can't, you know, arm talent wise, you really cannot deny what he's doing, and he's doing it in games at AA at what, he's 20 now, or is he 21? I think he's 20. 21. He's 21. Regardless,
let's say. Yeah, I think he's 21.
Doing it in AA at 21 is pretty impressive, and it's not just a matter of, you know, the other team wasn't very good. He went out there and made good pitches. So I'm really impressed by a lot of guys on the pitching staff, but yeah, hitting's gotta do something for me because I really expected a lot more from that lineup. I mean, every single player on that team, other than, you know, Riho, is a prospect in some regard. So you kind of were hoping to see a lot more out of those guys that we haven't seen yet. But you know, I think some of these guys, obviously, we're going to see them hit eventually. So not too worried.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned about the kind of, especially in a small sample early in the season, about offensively. I mean, like CJ Alexander, I mean, he had a home run the other night, and, you know, you'd like to think that maybe he can come back and, you know, do some damage. And same thing with like Legolier's, that the two home run night was a particularly a big night, and I think that really kind of will, you know, hopefully kind of get him going a bit. Shoemake, you know, I will say he's looked really good defensively at shortstop. I no longer have a question as to whether I can play that position. Which is another question was, because, you know, my first impression of him was he seemed more of like a tweener, short arm, some throws over at shortstop when I saw him at Rome. You know, I wasn't exactly sure if that was going to be a fit, but it seems like he's really good defensively over there. And again, he draws the walks, but, you know, I want to see a guy who can impact the ball. And we just haven't seen that yet. Again, really small sample. It's only six games, so not something I'm super concerned about. Hat tip to Nat Hayden Deal, who got the opening day start for Double A Mississippi and pitched well. Gave up a run in five innings. Didn't miss a ton of bats, but they got a lot of weak contact too. So he pitched well. And I just want to keep echoing Matt Withrow. You know, he's not been able to pitch much over the last few years, dealing with shoulder injuries and just a lot of other things going on with him. You know, also as a new dad, I found that out recently. Was really happy to kind of, you know, see a guy who is still chasing his dream while also having a young family to take care of. I am hopeful that he can kind of eventually make his way up to at least the major leagues for at least a short stint, just to be able to say that he made it there. Has pitched really well too. Is, you know, striking out a bunch of guys. Has only given up two hits in the six innings that he's worked. Has a start also. You know, has a start. You know, I made a relief appearance. I got the impression that he's going to be kind of out of the bullpen primarily, but will make spot starts as needed. That guy will pitch basically under any circumstances that you need him to pitch in. And is a guy we're certainly rooting for. But again, keep an eye on this Mississippi roster. There's certainly, it's been a little bit rough offensively, but there's a ton of guys on that roster who know how to hit, and I have a feeling that they will hit. But that brings us to the 5-1 Gwinnett Stripers, who have done so basically without Drew Waters. Who we think, you know, Ender Inciarte is on rehab assignment, so there's a kind of a built-in excuse to not be playing Waters for whatever reason, but we suspect that he's kind of dealing with a minor nagging injury, but he hasn't been placed on the injured list or anything like that. But they have been demolishing teams. They've been like mugging them and taking their lunch money out in the parking lot during the course of the first week of the season. Garrett, you went first in the first segment. You'll go first and list the last one. Talk to me about the guys at AAA you've been kind of impressed by or who at least caught in your eye.
It's really hard to judge AAA because they're using, I assume, the major league balls that are just basically super balls. So Orlando Arcia hitting a ball 466 feet kind of tells you what you need to know there. I mean, there's so few guys other than Waters that are really true prospects offensively, and Waters played like two games, so it's really hard to talk about the offense. I mean, obviously, Orlando Arcia is not a AAA baseball player. He's good enough to play in the major leagues. He's not for whatever reason, he's not up there. Maybe they just want to keep him playing consistently. So if he's needed at the major league level, he's ready. He's played well. I like him. But pitching wise, you know, Dysbel Hernandez, we really never got to see him because he played in high A where we didn't have cameras. He was all over the place, but his stuff looked really, really good, and he looks like he could play out of Atlanta. He looks like he could get to Atlanta this season stuff-wise. If he can kind of rein it in a little bit, he's a guy you could see down the stretch that could come in and fortify the bullpen a little bit and give you some innings late in the game. Saw a really, really good start from Bryce Wilson. You kind of expect that from him at this point. He's been succeeding at AAA, but it's good that he hasn't, you know, going to the major leagues and struggling hasn't kind of gotten to him. He's able to go down, get right, get AAA hitters out. Let's hope he can figure out his issues and maybe later this year, maybe next year, come back and finally find some extended success, whether it's as a starter, whether it's as a reliever. He has the talent and he has the drive to do it. It's just a matter of putting into the games consistently, and hopefully he can develop at this level.
Grav, what about you, man? Talk to me about your AAA guys.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of these players. There's Terrence Gore, you know, what else? Everyone, there's not really too much to talk to, and I want to be a little bit informative. So I decided to go on a little more of a negative note. And that's someone who I was personally super high on, and I still think has an insane, not insane, but a really high MLB caliber ceiling, and that's definitely Victor Arano. He had some time in Atlanta. I don't think he made an appearance here, but then he got sent back down today. You know, Arano was a key figurehead in that 2018 Phillies bullpen, and that's because he's got really talented pitches. He's a high talent arm. 92, 95 four-seam fastball with really good arm side run. He's got a great two-seam fastball with also a good arm side run. He's got a slider, which is a bit of an odder pitch because while it doesn't have too much horizontal break, it's still a massive vertical break. And then a decent changeup with, of course, good arm side run. So, like, he has four good pitches with tons of movement. And while they might not be, you know, elite pitches, when you have four different ones of that caliber, you expect really, really good numbers. And so far, I mean, again, everything because of COVID throws every pitcher off that didn't pitch significantly in that year. So I'm not really actually worried about him, but I did expect more out of him, and I expected him to kind of make the team, if he showed he was healthy, you know, make the team out of spring training and then be a key figurehead in that bullpen. So I expect him to turn around. I'm not too worried about him, and it's someone that I think will probably find himself back in Atlanta earlier than later, and that also goes for Edgar Santana, who has an electric arm but struggled. You know, he had the Tommy John surgery, I think, in 2019, and then in 2020 he got suspended. I think it was like the entire season for PED, so he's sitting a longer layoff. But then you watched him in Atlanta, and you see the insane movement on his pitches. So those are two relievers that I expect, you know, that might not have gotten off to the greatest start this season, but I expect to be key figureheads in that Atlanta bullpen that, you know, with Daysdale, with potentially Victor Vaughn, it can be completely remade in the second half. And now you have Atlanta signing Shane Green as well. So I want everyone to know that complained about the relief corps so far. I get it. They've been really bad, but they're, you know, we have people in the pipeline who hopefully will show consistency and find themselves a complete and back in Atlanta and have a completely remade bullpen in the second half of the season, or hopefully sooner than that.
And last but certainly not least, Wayne Cavati, talk to me about your guys from Gwinnett.
You know, and just to echo what Garrett said, there's really not a whole bunch to, and Gaurav both said, you know, there's really just not a whole bunch to watch prospect wise here. There's things you want to see. It's kind of like fine tuning, right? You want to make sure that guys like Arcia and Merritt are still hitting the ball, even though, as Garrett said, I mean, I think we could hit a baseball, we'd luck into a home run on the AAA ball. So there's really not a whole lot. I really did, Hernandez is a guy that I definitely want to watch. You know, he's got that big fastball, but it's all about, hitting the strike zone. And, you know, like you look up and down this roster and as I just said, there's not a lot of prospects, but you look up and down this roster and everyone's like 27, 28, 29. You have like 33-year-olds on this roster, but then you have Bryce Wilson, who's still only 23 years old. And even though he's not a prospect anymore, you do want to see him go out there and succeed every time he goes out there when he's in AAA, right? And he definitely did that. I mean, he could dominate AAA now. It's just what he needs to do that consistently at the next level. And, you know, we've seen that he could do it. He did it in the playoffs. So I guess really for me, I wanted to see Wilson come out in his first AAA start and be the Bryce Wilson that we want him to be. And he did that. And, I guess that was my biggest takeaway of what I was watching. And you could say the same about Tucker Davidson. But Wilson's really my guy there.
Yeah, I do want to kind of touch on a little bit. I know that like guys like Orlando Arcia and Travis DeMeritt aren't like technically prospects anymore. Travis DeMeritt, old friend of the minor league recaps, who was featured prominently. I'm actually pretty shocked that Gaurav didn't talk about him because that was his boy. for a long time.
Oh, trust me, I wanted to. I wanted to.
but OPS healthily over 1,100 for Demerit on the season, and Orlando Arcia with an OPS of 1.380 to start the season, just like we all predicted. They're hitting really well, obviously. This whole Gwinnett roster's really been hitting pretty well. I want to echo Tucker Davidson. He really shoved in his start. He gave up one run in seven innings, and he only gave up that one run on a solo home run in the seventh inning. Just looked really, really good. I was actually really happy with what Tucker put up, and I want to make sure that we're going to give him some love too, because Bryce looked good, but, you know, Tucker certainly made his own waves. One prospect who is a legitimate prospect that we like a lot, who has not had a good opening week, has been Kyle Muller. Both of his starts did not go particularly well for him. Seems like the command's off. Seems like he's also getting hit pretty hard too. So, you know, I think his ERA is as much as the ERA can matter after two starts, but healthily over 11, to start the season is not where I would have put Muller being. So he's kind of a guy that we're keeping an eye on to kind of see what's going on, see if he can kind of pull things together. I'm certain that he will, because I think that the stuff's just too good and that he's just kind of like too driven and just too talented to kind of just all of a sudden not be able to get guys out in AAA. But, you know, not the best start for him. As I said at the start of the show, or at the start of the segment, Gwinnett is at 5-1 right now on the season. Again, offensively playing very well. We haven't seen much of Drew Waters, who's the top prospect on the roster at Gwinnett. And, you know, again, we feel like a combination of, you know, Ender Inciarte being on rehab assignment, plus that it's possible he's still dealing with, I know he had an oblique injury in spring. Maybe he's still dealing with that. We're not 100% certain, but we haven't seen him play in a little while. Something that we're keeping an eye on as well. And boys, that's it. We are done for this episode. We thank you guys so much for coming on to the show to talk minor league baseball. Again, we're probably not gonna have the full slate of guys, each week, but everyone was really kind of chomping at the bit to talk minor league baseball this week, and I'm sure we're going to try to, once we get Matt's audio issue sorted out, we're going to get him back on the show, and we'll have kind of a regular rotation of everyone coming through to talk minor league baseball on this show. If you want to make sure you don't miss a single episode, follow us on Twitter at Road, the number 2, Atlanta. The Talking Chop Twitter feed will also work as well, because you'll be able to get when the article post goes up. But if you want to make sure that you don't miss an episode, that Twitter account is the one that you want to be following. And also make sure that if you want to not miss an episode and you don't want to have to worry about dealing with Twitter, all you have to do is follow the Talking Chop podcast feed. It's that simple. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever you choose to use as your preferred podcast purveyor, it is extraordinarily likely that we are on it. And if we are not, let us know and we will be on it. And you get not only get this podcast, but you'll also get the Talking Chop flagship show hosted by Brad Rowland. Occasionally that I am a semi-regular co-host on that. And you know, everyone that's on this show has, you know, at least gotten some love on that show as well. And as we get closer to draft time and things like that, I imagine there's going to be kind of a regular rotation of us kind of talking about what's going on with that on the main show as well. Thank you all so much for all the support. We're so excited that minor league baseball is back. We've been talking about guys we've not seen before and kind of like relearning kind of how guys are doing and all this stuff. It's been a big, big deal for all of us. And it, you know, in terms of all of our mental health in dealing with both baseball and this life in general, minor league baseball has been a big part of that. And we're just really happy to kind of get back to some semblance of normal and being able to kind of get back to the work that we're doing. I'm going to be going to Rome, not this week, but next week once they get back home. I'll at least go up there for one game. Health permitting, is maybe I'll try to get to more games, but I'm dealing with some issues with my feet at the moment, which aren't particularly fun, and driving is more difficult than I anticipated. So, but other than that, I'm sure the other guys are going to be making trips around as well. And so we'll be kind of getting you guys some game reports and all that good stuff as the season progresses. And so make sure you keep an eye out on the site for that. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.